Today's session is called Download, and as you've noticed, the theme of the weekend has been computers and on wisdom. And I'm sure if you came to the camp computer illiterate, you certainly have got some ideas now of what computers and all those the components and that make up the computer. So, and I'll keep on that theme. So download actually means coming from a higher source down to something lower. And I thought that fitted in really well, particularly in light that wisdom comes from a higher source. And that wisdom is from God, isn't it? So it's coming down. And I think that God is trying to download, or we have the opportunity to receive that downloaded wisdom. And that's important to keep in mind, that we can't, as Sue said on Friday night, it's not something that we can work towards or study or do. It is something, it's our knowledge from God that comes down from Him. And we can relate that into our theme, particularly that we want the wisdom to come down from our higher source, and that's from God. And so God downloaded His wisdom onto Solomon, and then he downloaded that information into what's made up as the book of Proverbs, and there is obviously a lot of wisdom within those books, in the chapters in Proverbs. And he's written it in a way, if you do take the time to read Proverbs, he's written it in a way that it is actually down-to-earth instruction. So he's not only downloaded it, but he's downloaded it in a way in which we can just pick up the book of Proverbs and read it and understand it. It's very much down-to-earth. And I think Women's Getaway tries to achieve that in how we put on our camp. And I've just sort of incorporated this down-to-earth thing, that really we're just downright down-to-earth Christians who sometimes get a bit downcast. And we can be a little bit down in the mouth and feel like downing tools. Have we ever felt like that as Christians, just downing our tools? But we've come along here this weekend to sit downstream of what God is trying to say to us from His word. So our session is downloaded. So let's have a look at what a computer actually is. Now, a computer is made up of its outer casing. We have the body, the outer casing of the computer. We have the keyboard. We have the screen. And we have the mouse, don't we? And we, as Christians also, we have an outer casing. We have our body, we have the keyboard, that's our hands and the things that are used to work. We have the screen, and that's our reflection to what people are seeing. And the mouth, we could almost call the Holy Spirit, because that mouth guides us when we're using the computer. It guides us, and so does the Holy Spirit. That guides us. So they're the components that we need to have if we desire to have wisdom. And when we put information into the computer, we have to put in quality information, or whatever we put into that computer is then reflected back onto the screen. So if we put in quality, what are we going to have reflected out? Quality. If we put garbage in, we get garbage out. I know we may not know how to use the computer, but generally it's what we put in is reflected back out. And isn't that something like our Christian life? And it's what goes in to our heart and mind that is reflected back out, just like the computer. So what I have to ask you, what quality is going into your life? Because what quality goes in will determine what is being reflected out. And that's why we need wisdom. We need wisdom to know what should go into our bodies, our hearts and our minds, so then we have quality coming out. And we know that God is our ultimate quality. He is the ultimate in quality. He is our source of wisdom, our source of love, but He is our source of quality. And what I was asked to speak on was perhaps what a godly life was. And I sometimes when I read that word godly, I think, that's not me, that'll never be me. And I think we always think, that's that lady, she's the godly woman. don't we? So what I've changed is I've changed that word godly, not to downgrade it, but just put in a word that perhaps we can relate better to. And that's quality. A quality Christian. A godly Christian. That sounds a little bit more achievable, doesn't it, when we think of quality. But really, ultimately, we want to be godly women. And through the knowledge and the wisdom that we can pursue from God, we can obtain that quality. But we need daily wisdom. Not weekly wisdom or wisdom that we just need when there's really big events coming up or guide us to what this we need to do here and there. We need absolutely daily wisdom. And that's why I say we're down to earth. Because at the end of the day, we're just women going about our normal duties, whether it's in the home with the children, whether it's in our workplace, whether it's at uni, no matter what it is, we're just down to earth Christians that sometimes get a bit down in the mouth. So we need this wisdom put in so we can take on the challenges that every day faces. So when I was studying this, I was saying to myself, well, is this another thing as a Christian I need to obtain? Because sometimes this list, you know, it gets bigger, doesn't it? You know, we come away sometimes from these things and this is another thing I have to try and do for the Lord. But I was thinking, well, how long do I have to be wise for? How long? And I thought, well, I only have to be wise while I'm a woman. And then I thought, well, hang on, I'm a woman all my life. And so that's how long we have to be wise for. That's the good news I've got for you. We only have to be wise while we're a woman, and we're women all our life. So that's an exciting thing, I think. So let's have a look at some of the characteristics of wisdom and the wisdom that we need, not all, obviously all our life, but the wisdom that we need just every day, because that's all we do. We just get up in the morning and we've just got our straightforward tasks. We want wisdom for those sort of things. So can you please turn to Proverbs chapter 3? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 3. I'll just read the first part of it. Proverbs 3 and 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Well, Christian women, you have already made the wisest choice of all. You have accepted the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. That is your wisest choice. So if you think you have never made a wise choice in all your life, well, you're wrong. If you have become a Christian, you have made the wisest choice. And that's what our camp is called, Wise Move. Not only a wise move coming along, but you have made a wise move. You have admitted that you are a sinner and that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus. You have submitted your will over to the Lord. And you have committed yourself to Christ and what he would want to achieve in your life. So you have admitted, submitted and committed. So you have made the wisest choice. And our first love is to God. And God, as I said before, is our source of love and wisdom. And we need to tap in to that wisdom. Now that we have made that wisest choice, no matter how long ago we have made that commitment, we need to tap in to that wisdom, that source. And God is that quality. God is the highest quality, the ultimate in quality. So in all things, what I want to get across today is in all that quality that we put into our temple should be nothing less than quality. If God is the ultimate in quality, let's put nothing less than quality into our temple. And we need the wisdom to know what quality to go in. Because the amount of God's love we are willing to accept, although we think we have accepted God's love, but the total amount of love that we have are willing to accept from God will determine then how much quality and quantity of love we have within. It's up to you to see how much love you can totally accept from God. Because we are reminded that we are shaped and we are moulded by what we love. And that's what I want to look at today. We are shaped and moulded by what we love. So what do you love? What do you love? What is shaping your private life? Not only your private life between you and the Lord, your private life at home, but your private life will reflect out in your public life. And we need God's wisdom to have a look at our private life, because ultimately it reflects in our public life. And the reading says, let love never leave you. Let love never leave you. The moment that we let love leave us, God's love won't, he's not going to take away his love. It's when we stop loving the things that he loves. That's when love leaves us. The moment we stop, we let love leave us, it is reflected in our lives, and it's a bit like the mouse on the computer. That mouse is our Holy Spirit, and then we start to grieve the Holy Spirit. So there, it complicates our life when we let the love leave us. So we need to examine what is shaping us and changing our focus from what we should love. Now, I didn't want to use that word examine only because sometimes I think it might get a little bit overused sometimes. So I want you to think about checking it out. Check out what quality comes past you, and then some of it will enter in. So check out what is shaping you in your lives. When we start to put poor quality into our lives, then our love will slowly leave us. The love of God and his commands and standards will start to leave us once we let poor quality in. And it's not just on those big things we need to ask wisdom for. It's these small daily things that we need. And I was thinking of when we plan for a wedding, and particularly if it's a Christian wedding. We plan sometimes a year, 6 months in advance of that wedding for it to happen. And we even get these books now that tell us step by step what we've got. 6 months out we should be meeting this person, and we organise things on almost a daily basis. Just ask some of these newly marrieds here. They will tell you that every day they were thinking or organising something regarding their wedding, and they've got smiles on their faces now. They know all about it. And we put so much effort and time into organising just one day. Just one day. And as particular as Christians, we'll be praying about it, praying to make sure that we're making those wise decisions and making sure that everything's going to go fine. Now, after the day is over and they're back from their honeymoon, the thing is, they say, well, hang on a minute. That wedding day, that's not going to last us for the rest of our life. But we've got to live the rest of our life. All our time and planning for the last 6 months went into one day, but we forgot we've got the rest of our life to live. And that's the rest of the life is when we need the wisdom. And so from that day, that's when you need to start to say, well, hang on, I need wisdom for every day. And the amount of time, prayer and effort went into organising one day, think about it. We now need to start to think of things that lie ahead of us, not only as married couples, but as singles, our career and the things that the Lord would lead us into. So we need to put that sort of preparation into making wise decisions. And it's made up of those little wise decisions every day. If you can have a look at Proverbs 3 and 21. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. So what's this verse here saying? My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. It's saying guard clear thinking. Guard your clear thinking and your common sense. Guard it with your life. Because we need to guard and protect our heart and our mind from poor quality. Now, what amazes me sometimes is there are people who are so determined outside of Christian things, I guess, and they're so determined they'll stick to it. But when it comes to either sin or poor quality in their own life, they're just a bit wish-washy. And I think sometimes of the people that only like red salmon sandwiches. They wouldn't touch pink salmon sandwiches. It's got to be red salmon. Even if there was a pink salmon sandwich there and it was the last sandwich, they'd turn their back on it. I'm not eating pink salmon. It's got to be red salmon. They are so determined that they won't eat that. But I ask you, have we got that same determination when it comes to dealing with sin and making wise decisions? Are we so strong-willed to really have a look at what guarding our clear thinking and our common sense? We need to be quality Christians in all areas, and we need to ask for it because it starts in our private life. So when we're committing each day and asking our Heavenly Father for wisdom, we need to ask Him to guard our clear thinking for that day. Guard it. And guard our common sense for the day. Lord, give me wisdom in the things that I think of today. Give me wisdom with my common sense for the day. And I've got a couple of examples. I'll say it fairly quickly because I know people get some bad thoughts straight away. But one of the things that we do need wisdom in is when we're watching TV. That's right, I said TV. I'm not going to tell you that not to watch TV. What I'm asking you as Christians, let's examine what we watch. But I want you to have a look at the quality that we watch, not only on the TV, but the movies. What poor quality goes in, remember, will come out in us. And I know sometimes you say, oh, Donna, they're only just shows. They're not harmful. We say that. But some of these sitcom shows of overnight are totally opposed to our Christian beliefs. Yet we sit there and watch them. They're the sort of things that are happening in our neighbours' households, in the people that we work with. What is demonstrated on those TVs, although we may oppose them as Christians, but we will still watch them and accept them. I'm asking you to check out your quality TV or quality, because it's going in and it will affect you. You don't think it may, but it will affect your common sense. It will affect your clear thinking. And I'm just asking you to have a look at it. It's like a virus when it gets into the computer. It gets in and it does damage. Sometimes you can't even get the virus back out. And it's like the quality that goes in. Think about it. Check it out. And in one of the songs that we were singing earlier yesterday, it was Purify My Heart. And it was about the refiner's fire. And I was thinking, do we put things that come into our body, let it go through a fire first to see if it is acceptable to us? Or do we just accept it? Are we becoming sort of Christians that just, well, we just accept it. It's all right these days. Is that what we say? What about the magazines that we read? Eventually, the information that we read from them will affect us. I want to know, as Christians, is it really necessary that we know how many times Julia Roberts has been married and divorced? We don't. But there are people that read these and they affect their lives. It may not be harmful to you, but we need to make wise decisions. Does it really benefit my Christian life? Ask yourself, does it really help my Christian walk? What does it reflect from me when I read these things? These are the little daily decisions we need to make. We can't have our whole life before God half godly and half ungodly. He wants us all to be godly, all of it. He wants all quality. How much quality is going in? If it would be offensive to Jesus, surely then it should be offensive to us. And if it starts not to be offensive to you, may I suggest you are letting your love leave you. What we love will shape us. Don't let love leave you. Also in that Proverbs 3:3, it said, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Jesus takes the highest, or demonstrated the highest position in faithfulness to his Father. He demonstrated the highest position of faithfulness to his Father, didn't he? So how high is your position Or how high is your position of faithfulness to our Father? Is there a faithfulness there? It's our faithfulness to God's commands and standards that he wants. Our faithfulness to God will reflect the wise choices and decisions that we make. If we are faithful to the things that God loves, we then will be able to make wise decisions, and we will be able to reflect more of God. Are we faithful to not only our God, but are we faithful in our homes? Because sometimes the homes are the hardest place to live as Christians, because we're not on show to anyone. Are we faithful to our employees, or do we ride the system a little bit? Every opportunity we can, do we ride it a bit? Are we faithful? And are we faithful to our own churches that we belong to? Faithful. Are we faithful? Faithfulness, I believe, is urgently needed in all areas of our life. It's a true faithfulness to God. So we've got to ask ourselves, firstly we said, what is shaping, what we love shapes our lives, but what is stopping us from being totally committed to our faithful, being faithful to God and his standards? What is holding us back from being totally faithful? Poor quality? Poor quality in the things that we love and do? What about being faithful in passing on wisdom? How faithful are we in maintaining the truth? Maintaining the truths that we have learnt over the years? Are we faithful in maintaining that truth? Our responsibility would be to ensure that the next generation is also receiving wisdom. How can they do that if we don't demonstrate wisdom? If we start to introduce poor quality into our lives, how can we pass on quality to the next generation? If we love our children, shouldn't we want them to have the best quality? When I talk about quality, it's not dollar signs. It's got nothing to do with money or how much things are. We want our children to have the best quality. And that's the best quality would be from God. We need to pass on godly disciplines to our next generation. And in Proverbs 4:1 we read, "Listen, my sons, to my father's instructions. Pay attention and gain understanding." This father that's speaking is not speaking from some educational background. He's speaking as a wise, warm-hearted, quality parent. Quality parent. Because he is exposing his son to wisdom. And that's what we need to do to the next generation. We need to encourage and to develop and to expose them to good quality, and hence, hopefully, they will gain wisdom from that. But if we start to screen or to stop the poor quality getting into our heart and we start to accept quality, we can earn something. We can earn something from God. It says, reading all of chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your heart. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man." Then you will win favour and a good name in the sight of God and man. That's if we don't let love and faithfulness never leave us. In the Message, it's translated that verse 4 is, "Earn a reputation for living well in the eyes of God and the people." Earn a reputation. Earn a reputation. Now, we know the easiest thing to get is a bad reputation, but it's the hardest thing to get rid of. Wisdom is needed to help us to earn a reputation for living well. Living a godly life, that's what it's saying. Earn a reputation for living well. How much quality is in our attitude determines the reputation, whether bad or good. So we need to have a look at the quality that's going into our attitude, because our attitude reflects what we have allowed in. You think of a bad attitude. What quality has gone into to get that attitude to a bad one? A lot of bad quality. A good reputation would be good quality going in. If you are feeding on the things of the Lord, then you don't have time to feed on yourself and make me number one. And that's how we get our bad. We can either obtain a good attitude or bad. So there are two attitudes that we can have. In the book of Proverbs, it doesn't hide the fact that there is wisdom and there is folly. And it also reminds us that we can become zealous for either good or evil. We actually can be zealous for evil as well as good. So we need to guard our heart. And in Proverbs 4:23 it says, above all else, guard your heart. For an example, there's two types of attitudes and coming from quality and poor quality. There's the here am I attitude, or there's there you are attitude. The here am I attitude would walk into a room and in your mind you're saying, well, here I am. Here, come and talk to me. I'm here. You need to come and see me. Or do you have the attitude of, there you are. It is so good to see you. Or there you are. And in your mind you're saying, could I introduce you to my friend, the Lord Jesus? Does our attitude reflect one of wanting to extend God's kingdom when you meet people? Or are you saying, well, here am I. Here, come and talk to me. Or are you saying, there you are. I've got someone that you would like to meet. What's your attitude? So wisdom needs to be reflected in our very attitude absolutely every day. It's our desire to serve the Lord in our daily wise choices. And a wise woman with quality would say, well, there you are. If you had quality, you'd be saying, there you are. Are you wisely searching out people that could be ready to meet the Lord? So with earning a reputation for living well, we must realise that our public life, will reflect what is going on in our private life. What we have accepted privately, the quality that we've received privately, will be reflected in our public life. So is our commitment to ensure that we feed on godly quality? Because that's what will determine our reputation. It's not our reputation in front of man, because it says earn a reputation for living well in God's eyes. That's why we would desire to earn a reputation for living a godly life. For God. Not for man, but for God. So we need, your reputation depends on the quality that you put in. What about looking quality? Do you honour people by what you wear? Do you have respect for people enough to be dressed appropriately? You honour people simply by what you wear. Do we look for quality? Maintaining a quality of dress and we're looking for what would be acceptable to God. So often we see people just wanting to wear the latest regardless of what God would think. Let's put our quality when we're purchasing clothes or choosing what we should wear, let's ask God for wisdom. What would be appropriate? Because what is appropriate to man is not appropriate always to God. Our quality and our reputation depends upon the quality in what we look like. Again, it's not about dollars, it's about just personal presentation before God. We need to make wise decisions. See, as you can see, these are little just wise decisions that we need to make every day, because ultimately our life is reflected to the public out there. What are you reflecting? What about walking quality? In Proverbs 4:14, if you just wanted to turn to that, 4:14. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of men. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. If you do not control your feet, they can run fairly recklessly into a trap of absolute danger. And sometimes we may not step completely into evil, but do we sort of inch in a little bit and just have a look? Just have a look. Our curiosity sometimes gets us with our feet. And we just want to have a little look. We need wise decisions for where our feet take us. God made our feet to run away from temptation, not to run to it. We need to be streetwise. That's what we need. By choosing carefully where our feet go. And we should always check the street sign. And if it says this is number one quality street, that's where you need to head. Because anything less is disappointing to God. Cautious feet don't just happen. They are the result of wise decisions every day. What about thinking quality? In our entertainment, where we go, in our social life, are we thinking quality there? In other words, do we demonstrate godly living in our entertainment? Sometimes we need to say, include me out. Include me out. And sometimes that's tough, especially with work associates, when you're spending all day with them and they're continually badgering you about coming along to various things. But sometimes just a night out with the girls can ruin a reputation in one night. Your Christian reputation can be gone in just one night. We need to be mindful of where our entertainment takes us. The desire to be a wise woman doesn't just happen. We need to be constantly eliminating certain little ungodly things from our life. And that's why we need wisdom to have a look at what little things are inside. What poor quality did we allow in? To get that inside us. As we know, and just one of the songs that we sang also, it's that God's eyes are upon us, not just in public, not just on a Sunday. God's eyes, we know, we learn this at Sunday school, God's eyes are when, no matter where we are, in our home, the things we see with our eyes, the things that we hear with our ears, God is seeing us in all these areas. So that's why we have to ensure that the quality that goes in is what is being reflected out. Our reputation depends on it. A quality woman is a wise woman, and a wise woman insists on quality. Now, most women I know, they do. They insist on quality, don't they? And that's something that as women do. We insist on quality. So why don't we start to put some quality into our Christian life? Start to be demanding. Because there's so many other areas of our life that we are so determined that we won't accept. We won't accept anything but red salmon sandwiches. Why? Why can't we do that with sin in our life? Insist on quality. Because you are ensuring only godly quality goes into our body and our mind and our soul. So knowing God and how to live a wise life, we must remember it's got to come from our knowledge, and wisdom is from God. As I have said before, sometimes computers can shut down or turn off. And sometimes we do that. We sometimes fail. But also, computers have great capabilities, and their capacity is unbelievable. But also, our capabilities are endless. When we consider who created us, when we consider that God is the source of wisdom, our capabilities can be endless if we choose. There is nothing that I can take into eternity except my soul. And it's what we put in to that soul and our mind is what is going to go into eternity. There's nothing I can take. But God would want me to be ensured that I'm putting quality into my life, into my mind, into my heart, every day. And to do that, we need, as you can see, we need wise decisions in absolutely everything of our life. Only God can reward us with something. But he gives us an opportunity to inherit something of great value. And just in closing, I want you to turn to Proverbs 3:35. So he's giving us an opportunity to inherit something. What would it be? 3:35. The wise inherit honour, but fools he holds up to shame. So there, he's giving us an opportunity. The wise inherit honour. Isn't that a beautiful word, honour? To be honoured? Isn't that sound so precious? God desires to honour us. The wise he will honour, but the fools he holds up to shame. if you have already made the wisest choice, if you have become a Christian, you have made that wisest choice. You have received the greatest gift of all, eternal life. Now you have the opportunity to inherit something. Inherit honour. The wise inherit honour. How wise you will be will be determined by the quality you accept. What's your standard? What quality will you accept? So let's raise the standard of Christian women. We should insist on nothing less than the best for the best. Let's, as Christian women, insist on quality. In other words, let's insist on a godly life and insist on the quality that goes in is nothing but then the best.